I wonder if there's a door to someone's home that witnesses more comings and goings than number 10 Downing Street has had recently. Guests, dignitaries, politicians, all entering the home of the Prime Minister for talks, meetings, discussions and negotiations. More often than not, the people who enter through those doors represent a group of people, and they speak, they negotiate, they plead and discuss on their behalf. The Prime Minister in recent months and weeks has held more of these meetings than is average, I would suspect, trying to gain what they call a cross-party consensus for the exit of the UK from the European Union. Those she's meeting with in this instance are mostly MPs. And one of the roles of an MP is to represent the people in the area and to bring to Parliament, and sometimes appealing directly to the Prime Minister, a certain situation or matter of concern in the area or on behalf of the people they represent. It is key in parliamentary politics, according to Laura Koonsberg from the BBC News, that the MP represent the people. And this is why politicians are named and shamed publicly if they spend little time sat in the Commons. This is why people are sometimes reluctant to elect an MP who does not live in and understand the area they represent. It is required that there is a bond of trust between the MP and the people they represent. And clearly this is why, generally speaking, the Labour Party fare better in industrial locations and the Conservatives in rural areas, for example. The feeling is that the MP must be one of us, to understand us, to be able to intercede on our behalf on issues of importance to us. When this bond of trust is broken, the consequences can be quite uncertain and even difficult. So take, for instance, the dilemma the country currently faces regarding exiting the EU. A major issue is that MPs do not always agree with the people they represent. They do not always agree with their party line either. They're being pulled in different directions, and this has led to a breakdown in trust between MP and the people, a trust that was already hanging in the balance. But why am I saying all this? You probably came to church hoping to have an hour off from Brexit. Well, I'm saying it because I hope and think it is a relevant illustration for our passage in Hebrews chapter 4, starting at verse 14 today. You see, today we have a passage which discusses the role of the high priest in Judaism. And it was the high priest's role to represent the people before God, to intercede on their behalf by offering sacrifices in the temple for the forgiveness of sins and the reconciliation of humankind to God. And if you remember the imagery from Jacob's dream in the Old Testament of a ladder or stairway reaching down from heaven to earth, you recall that he witnessed prayers going up and answers to prayers coming down from the Father being carried in by the angels, and that there was this endless transport, this endless motion reaching from earth to heaven, to the throne of God, far busier than the comings and goings at number 10 Downing Street, even recently. In Judaism, the priest was selected from within a specific tribe, but from within the people. The priest was someone who lived among the people, who knew the people, who was a partaker in all of the customs, who experienced the hardships of living under foreign rule, though also enjoying and celebrating the good things within the community. The priest had to be somebody who was trusted to go about their work as the people's representative before God. The high priest needed to be one who shared the people's plight. When he offered a sin sacrifice, he did so for the people, but he did so also for himself. People would look to the priest, and a bond of trust would exist between the priest and the people he represented, that he would have the people's interests at heart. And when he came to the altar of the Lord to offer the prayers before God, he would be doing so, seeking the interest of the people. And the people would look to him and rely upon him for the answers to their prayer too. But as the passage says in today's passage from Hebrews, the priest is able to wander off in different directions, since he too has his share of the weakness. It was possible that a priest could break that bond of trust. And as our Bible study group is considering, as it reads through Acts at the inception of the Christian witness to the world, it's plain that there were priests who were breaking that bond of trust. Men of faith who were wandering away from God. Men of faith who were ignoring the works and signs of God. Men of faith who denied that Jesus was Lord, despite all of the evidence that was before them, despite their knowledge of Scripture and the obvious fact that Jesus was fulfilling so many of the prophecies that there were about the Messiah. They were leading the people astray. There could be any number of reasons why they were doing this. Fear, hunger for power, a lack of sincerity, a sense of self-importance, and even unbelief in their God. And the words wander off show you that too much esteem had been applied to the priesthood. They were treated as if they couldn't wander off, and yet Scripture says clearly they can. They're human. What had enabled them to represent the people of being one of the people had too quickly been forgotten. They'd been positioned as being above the people, and they lorded it over them. Isn't it incredible that from a position of trust, they lorded it over the people? Well, unfortunately, it is a pattern that has repeated itself within the church, widely speaking, too. Prior to the Reformation, the church widely accepted, as norm, its own priesthood. And there are traditions today that claim for their priests indelibility and an untouchable status, almost. And it is so wrong to do this. Hebrews tells us and affirms to us that they are just like anyone else, and they can wander off from God's path. Sometimes they can get desperately lost. All human beings are the same. Priest or not, Jesus preached that we are like sheep that go astray. And we looked last week at the problem of the human condition. And the problem of the human condition is unbelief. Unbelief in our God. That is the problem of the human heart. And as we all have a human heart, we all have that problem. But the problem had become more severe at the time of Jesus. Not only had some of these supposed men of God gone astray like sheep, but some of them were wolves dressed in sheep's clothing. They lured the sheep away from the Good Shepherd and allowed Satan to devour them. As Jesus preached a simple and inclusive message, one where the yoke he asked people to bear was light, teachers of the faith were creating heavy burdens for their people to bear, of strict obedience to their interpretation of the law, and of trusting in them and what they say above God and what he says in Scripture and how he reveals himself. When Jesus walked on earth, this was a very real dilemma for those in the Sanhedrin, those leaders of the faith in Judaism. Do they toe the party line, they asked themselves, or do they represent people before God? They were challenged to ask themselves the question, do they deny Jesus as the Messiah? Do they say he is not the Messiah to the people? Or do they worship him with the people as Lord? They were challenged to ask themselves, do they lay down their priestly duties and accept Jesus as the high priest and acknowledge their role as obsolete, or do they hold on to power? You recall that this all led to some very tense and even terse dialogue between the priests and the elders. Remember the trial of Jesus shortly before his death? It took place in a kind of kangaroo court, didn't it? Where not even all of the council members were present. And even some of those who were there, they spoke out against the proceedings. And they were hushed up by those representing Annas and Caiaphas. They were shut up to hold still and firm to the party political position, if you like, one obsessed with holding on to power. And there were those dissenting voices, though, who could not deny that Jesus was the Messiah, even amongst the Sanhedrin, the likes of Joseph from Arimathea and Nicodemus, who were members of the Sanhedrin. They cared for the truth of Jesus' claims more than the politics that influenced many during and after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. They and others were persecuted for their faith, but they had to be bold and resolute in following through in their convictions. The evidence was there before them. There was no denying the truth that Jesus is Lord. It was, in a sense, the truth that would have set these men and others free to do this. Nicodemus, you will recall, came to Jesus in secret, in the darkness of night, asking him questions. Receiving the answers from listening to Jesus and from seeing the prophecies in Scripture fulfilled, he and others became convinced of the truth, and it set him free. And Hebrews informs us thusly, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help us at the moment we need it. These early Christians must have come to the conclusion that surely we must come to, that God in Jesus and through the Holy Spirit offers us everything we require. He offers grace and mercy that is sufficient. The ways of humans cannot offer any certainty, but God can. And the message then, as it is today, is to place your trust in the Lord your God, not in any human individual. In Jesus, we truly do have a high priest who intercedes for us at the Father's throne. We have a high priest who is able to sympathize, but who was firm and never wandered from God's will. As we discussed last week, he was tempted and tested. In the wilderness, we know he was offered the power over the whole world. He declined. He wanted to obey and be in communion with his Father in heaven. In the Garden of Gethsemane, faced as he was with a torturous death, praying to the point where he bled, Jesus uttered the words, Father, your way and not mine. And on the cross, where Jesus must have felt abandoned, as the Father turned his face away, as Jesus had the sin of the world upon him, we see that he never left communion with the Father. He never left the Father's way. He commanded his Spirit with his last words to go back to the Father. He never once strayed away from God's will, and therefore we can trust him. He's not like other humans. He does not stray away. He does not get lost. He does not wander off. In understanding our plight and the need for a high priest, who can be trusted to intercede for us more than Jesus? the one who offered himself as a living sacrifice for sin, that we may boldly approach God's throne of grace. And this gift he offers to us is free. Free for us to take up. So keep your eyes set on God. Put your trust in him for your salvation. And do not put your trust in any human. Not me, not anybody else. God leads the way. Jesus leads you to the throne of grace. Approach there in confidence, trusting in your High Priest, Jesus Christ. Amen.